a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. A soldier sticks an axe into a fire, then uses it to light his cigar. Northern Mongolia. Two filthy, unshaven men carry a heavy chest into a drinking den that's heaving with rowdy revelers. A Leonard Goldberg production in association with Flower Films. Two large trap doors are opened, then the men carry the chest down some stairs to the cellar below. A film by Mick G. Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu. When the men leave, the four screws securing the crate's lid suddenly twist undone. A young woman dressed in black leather, Alex Mundy, elegantly unfurls herself from inside the chest.
Get off the babysitter. Daddy's home.
From behind a wall, she watches a man with his head covered being beaten with a stick. After stretching out her arms and flexing her interlaced fingers, she then looks up at some dust falling from the ceiling. In the bar above, the men are stamping their feet as they huddle around a table where a drinking game is taking place. One player wearing a red jacket throws some dice, while their opponent, a bald man with a tattooed head and face, laughs heartily, then knocks back a shot. Then he says, "What is an angel doing so far from heaven?" The other player, Dylan Saunders, holds up her hand. She says, "I'm no angel." Then she knocks back her drink. Drunkenly, Dylan leaves the table, and while making her way through the sweaty throng, she lifts a set of large keys from the belt of one of the men. She pushes her way towards the bar's doors. They swing open, and a fresh-faced blonde woman in pigtails walks in, holding a travel book.
This is hostile, y'all!
All the men stare at her. They beckon her in, and she jiggles up and down excitedly. Suddenly, she spots a bucking bull ride. She glides over to it and hops on.
Let's do it.
As she rides it, all the men watch and cheer. She catches Dylan's eye and gives her a nod. Downstairs, one of the kidnappers films the assault on the hooded man as they remove a ring from his finger. Dylan approaches the trap doors, only to watch as a heavy-set man falls face-first on top of them in an inebriated heap. She tries to move him by tugging his belt. In the cellar, the cameraman finds Alex's fist coming right at him. She rams her leg into the groin of a second man, then runs up the wall to avoid the sword of a third, then kicks him in the face.
Marshal Ray Carter, I'm Alex Mundy. I'll be your rescuer today.
I didn't think you'd find me. How many men do you have?
I've got two girlfriends in the bar.
They have 50 armed men.
I know. It hardly seems fair. Come on! What is it?
My ribs.
Dylan. Dylan, we need to get out of here.
I'm on top of it.
Dylan and the heavy man crash through the trap doors, but the clientele don't seem to notice.
They got my ring.
I'm sure your wife will understand.
A hawk on a nearby perch spots them and cries out. Everyone turns to look at them. The soldier shouts, kill them all. Dylan slides under a table while Alex somersaults over it. Natalie, the third and final angel, jumps from the bull onto a chair, which she expertly spins into position between her two friends. Their war cry has little effect. So Dylan barks. The crowd slowly parts to reveal a man wearing two ammo belts and holding an automatic weapon in each hand.
Plan B.
As the bullets start to fly, the three angels backflip out of the way. They crash through some windows, taking Ray with them, then roll down the side of a sandy mountain.
Just once I'd like to walk out of a bar.
They run towards an arm of glory, and Natalie punches through the cab window. As they drive over a high dam, the soldier from the bar appears with a handheld rocket launcher. Their exit is blocked by a tank. Natalie climbs underneath some tarpaulin at the back of the lorry. The tank and rocket launcher are ready to fire. As the two missiles head towards them, Alex steers the lorry over the side of the dam. As the missiles head for either end of the bridge, the tarpaulin on the lorry falls away to reveal a helicopter. Natalie's in the cockpit as it spirals down past the dam wall. Alex and Dylan freefall towards it with Ray, who they bundle into the passenger seat. A jolt makes them fall away again, and they try to glide down towards the chopper. Alex grabs hold, but Dylan's not quite close enough. An explosion on the dam gives Dylan the momentum she needs, and she grabs hold of the chopper.
I'm afraid I underestimated you guys!
Yeah! That happens a lot!
Directed by Nick G. Bathed in the light from a crackling fire, a muscular man who's stripped to the waist looks at a ringing cell phone, then takes it to a woman with long dark hair. Her face is unseen. The Mongolian soldier says, "It was three crazy beautiful girls, but we have the ring." The unseen woman replies, "I always knew this day would come. Let's go to Plan B."
Once upon a time, there were three very different little girls.
While cheerleaders wave their pom-poms, someone in a beaver costume jumps clumsily through a poster. It's Natalie. Alex.
Come on, Alex, this is the last mess! You can do it!
It's everything.
She performs a gymnastic floor display, then gets 10 out of 10 from the judges. In a wrestling ring, she has a Ziggy Stardust streak of lightning across her face and a t-shirt reading Lady Insane. She backflips onto her opponent.
We grew up to be three very different women.
Alex is playing a young boy at a chess tournament. He shakes his head at her, then she gnashes her teeth before making the winning move. Dylan's taking part in a monster truck race, jumping over derelict cars and spinning her truck round and round in the dust.
Okay.
Natalie's with a cow in labor. She plunges both hands right into the birthing canal.
You! Hot water! Here it goes! Here it goes!
this. Yep, yep. There we go.
Now they work for me. My name is Charlie.
A montage of the Angels' adventures. Dylan clinging onto the windscreen of a speeding car. Natalie in a silver bodysuit breaking into a glass case. Alex on horseback and dressed as a cowgirl, chasing a man along a city street. She lassoes him, then shakes out her now blonde locks. Dylan and Natalie dressed as men in suits, then the girls running swiftly away from an exploding car. Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle. Three armored cars drive across the tarmac of an airport towards a hangar. Armed troops race to meet them, and helicopters are hovering nearby. William Rose Bailey of the Department of Justice is led from one of the cars to a waiting private jet. He's wearing a ring similar to Ray's. On board, he carries his briefcase to a seat.
Perimeter secure, we're ready for takeoff.
Well done, Agent McDowell.
Bailey opens his briefcase and takes out a file. After putting down his briefcase, he opens the file and settles down to read. As he's leafing through the pages, a strange noise makes him prick up his ears. He looks towards the door. Moments later, he's slowly peering out into the hangar. In the open floor space, bodies are strewn across the ground. Bailey rushes back into the jet to his briefcase. As Bailey reaches for his gun, an assailant drops down from the roof behind him and, holding a pistol to Bailey's temple, removes the ring. An MC Hammer music video is playing on a TV set. Carrying a cardboard box, Natalie starts shaking her booty in time to the beat.
You can't touch this.
She sidles from side to side like a crab, imitating the singer. Then Dylan and Alex appear, also carrying boxes.
Break it down.
They join in, dancing in unison in a line. They walk across the sofa, pushing it over, then collapse in a heap.
Hey, check this out. Our first piece of mail.
Natalie trips over the sofa as she tries to get to her boyfriend.
Your 10-year high school reunion.
It'll be a fun night, Nat.
Isn't that cool?
It's great.
I still can't believe that Nat and Peter moving in together. Our little angels growing up. It's wild that Natalie owns property. The most expensive thing I own are these boots.
Oh, excuse me, those are my boots.
Whatever, my point is...
A topless man jogs by.
I forgot my point. You broke your horny and you're wearing my boots. Thank you.
Behind Alex.
Ah, so you thought you could escape my fortress. Not so fast.
Alex grips the man over.
Oh my god! Jason!
Surprise!
Oh my god, are you okay?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
I miss you. Look.
She grabs a large television.
What are you doing later? You know, after this. Later on.
Jason, I thought we were on a timeout.
What? We can't fool around at all?
Hey, Jason. I didn't think you'd make it.
Yeah. Yeah, photo shoot ran late. Plus, I, you know, wanted to miss all the heavy stuff.
Hey, how's the sequel going?
Great. Yeah, we had like 13 writers, so it should be pretty good.
Yeah, I loved the first
one. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, we got a great title for this one. Maximum Extreme
2.
Oh. Oh, the premiere's Friday, so I brought you guys some tickets.
I love tickets!
Oh. Hello?
Yeah.
Be right in.
Thanks.
Sorry. Thanks for helping out, Jason.
No.
Charlie.
Bosley!
What's happening, Angels? How y'all doing?
Hey.
Hey, Boz.
Look here. I see my brother ain't checked the books in quite a while, huh?
We have a book?
Look here, lovelies. I know only been here for a few days, but one of you all explain to me, what the hell is this? Now, what do you think is...
Careful with that, Boz.
I'm all right. And I also see y'all being played. 5Gs for a Kevlar vest?
We need those.
Yeah, they're made especially for us.
What? You all fine, but you crazy. What?
Boz Lee, come here.
Have a seat, Boz.
Okay, okay.
Boz.
What?
Me.
You know, your brother, he didn't sweat the details. We do what it takes. That's right.
So what does a Bozzy do around here?
He does the most important job of all.
What's that?
He connects us with Charlie.
Okay. All right, all right.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Charlie.
Bosley, I hope the Angels aren't being too rough on you.
Man, please, I date fat women, talking about a couple of midgets.
Great work in Mongolia, Angels, but I'm afraid the case has taken a new turn.
God damn! I know what I'm gonna watch the game at tonight.
Angels, I'd like to introduce Roger Wixon, Senior Director at the FBI.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure. Hi. Hello.
Over the years, the Townsend Agency has worked on several projects for the Bureau, but never one with so many innocent lives at stake.
Hey, I'm busy watching that doggone screen.
It's okay. Good job, Boz.
Angels, you're aware of the Federal Witness Protection Program.
Sure, people who've testified against major crime figures are relocated and given new identities for protection.
The identities of these witnesses and their families are protected by a program called HALO, Hidden Alias List Operation. The list is encrypted on 2 titanium rings. The data on each ring is indecipherable on its own, but when the 2 rings are read together, their codes unlock each other.
Who wears the rings?
The head of the U.S. Marshal Service was wearing one.
Ray Carter.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you feeling?
A couple of fractured ribs, but I'll live.
Who wears the other ring?
The head of security for the Justice Department, William Rose Bailey. Unfortunately, he was killed this morning, and now both rings are in the open.
So the list is out.
You may be right. We know someone has contacted the major crime families with an offer to sell the list. And one of our protected witnesses, Alan Caulfield, was found dead in his home in the valley.
Angels, we need to get the HALO rings back before the list is sold.
We'll start at the Caulfield house. See if that leads us to HALO.
Hey, Charlie, we could really use Bosley's help on this one.
You get to drive the race car?
Not today.
To blow up a castle?
Not yet, Boz.
What y'all need me to do?
Read some body language.
Hell yeah.
A truck pulls up outside a house in a quiet suburban neighborhood. The doors open and the Angels get out incognito. Alex, evidence recovery specialist. Dylan, crime scene photographer. Natalie, CSI team leader. And Bosley, coroner.
I'm not going nowhere near no dead body.
A police officer.
Freeze, ladies. If you're not dead body, you need to be on the other side of those ropes. We got a pretty serious situation here. My men have got this whole area secured. I'm going to have to ask you to evacuate your persons immediately. We got a 211, 183. Believe it or not, we got an 11350 to boot, and it ain't pretty.
An 11350, you found an illegal chinchilla ranch on the premises?
It's a chinchilla farm. But you're good.
Negatory to your orders to relinquish locality, circumspect to your observation of said perimeter, we shall proceed to the interior of the dwelling with your accompaniment.
Well, I do not copy, repeat, do not copy, ladies. I'm gonna have to ask my sergeant.
Your sergeant is here.
They open the door into the house, where the room is bathed in a strong red glow. Caulfield's body is slumped in an armchair, and Alex makes her way over to it.
Hands off. You gals had your game faces on at the academy. I ought to be able to figure this one out. Simple cafe coronary. Freak show choked to death. Questions?
Examination of soft palate reveals porcine byproduct lodged in vestibule.
Okay, let's do this, honey. Come on, baby.
Caulfield shows no signs of trauma to the larynx. His struggle pattern indicates that he didn't choke. He was smothered.
Ladies, we got some carnauba residue. Pineapple.
Oh, it's sex wax. Best for your stick.
Pardon me?
Killer's a surfer.
How do you know?
He employed the same credit card he uses to scrape wax off his board. He gained entry into the house.
Little thrasher scumbag surfers.
Freeze!
I found a foreign print. He was wearing reissued 1989 Air Jordans, a limited promotional version that was sold only at the Foot Locker in Fontana in the summer of 2002. But there's a discrepancy in weight distribution between the left and right sides. An anterior cruciate ligament that was repaired in the last year.
All right, Angels, who did
it? We're looking for a killer with a scar on his knee who surfs.
Did you stink?
There's a hurricane off Baja. That means good swells for all south-facing beaches.
Was a lot of blood?
Offshore winds, third point. Malibu's pumping.
Hey, Alex, surfboards are at your house.
Come on, share it with me, Angel.
Freeze!
At Alex's luxury modern house.
Daddy?
Daddy!
Darling, I was on my way to meet your mother in Bali and they cancelled the flight. Yes, some sort of monsoon. So, how does my favourite little ferret?
Oh, no.
Do the face. Now, come on. Come on, do it properly.
She makes a ferret face.
That is so cute. I do the whiskers with my dad. Mr. Mundy, it is such a pleasure to finally meet you.
I'm Dylan. That's Natalie.
I assure you, none of the stories are true.
Well, some of them are.
So you were with Alex at the hospital?
Yes. Natalie works in the psychiatric ward. And Dylan is the head of gynecology.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So young.
I know.
We were just on our way out, actually, because we have such a major procedure coming up, Daddy, so...
Duty calls, sorry. I've got a prep.
Yeah, scrub up.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
See you guys in a minute. It's just a tiny emergency, but make yourself at home, okay?
Sure. We'll talk later. Off to the hospital. Go say bye.
Love ya.
Head of gynecology? Oh.
Now at the beach, Natalie is expertly surfing a wave in a white bikini, while Alex and Dylan are working in a fast food van.
Wait a second. Boss,
there's a waxer on your six.
Is that you, Lot?
Get in there and see if he's using pineapple sex wax.
Dylan, check it out.
I got sand all in my ass. I can't hardly walk.
Just blend in. Be cool, Boss.
Wilson sticks his board in the sand next to a suspect surfer, but it falls and flattens a child's castle.
Getting wet?
Great job, boss.
Is that great? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's great!
Yeah.
It's great! Yes, sir!
Suspect 4 eliminated.
Natalie is waxing the board.
What's up, Angel?
A woman with long dark hair.
Natalie Cook. Oh, my God. How did you know?
I get the newsletter.
Of course. Wow, God, I've heard so many stories about you. You're my favorite angel.
She won the Nobel Prize in Astrophysics for her research on flying mammals.
And predicted Carmine De Soto's every move by using the Cosmo Bedside Astrologer.
I also set the clock on Charlie's VCR.
And she invented the Mueller mic.
Dylan and Alex.
Yeah.
God, how I miss scouts.
No, aren't they the best?
Lay by me.
Before sight, bring it on, bitch.
Only one waxer left. Wait a second. Subpatellar scar, left knee. Check it out. Brown shorts, red board, 11 o'clock. What do you think? Yummy. That's what I thought. Case closed. Nat, move in. Dylan thinks he's hot.
What do you mean?
Yours fell for the bad guy. Well, then this guy must be really evil.
Hey, you know what? You should come by and see the new agency. It's beautiful.
Maybe I will.
Tell Charlie hello from me when you see him.
In slow motion, Madison runs across the beach to a car while Natalie heads out to the surf. Madison heads into a red sports car, and while Natalie paddles out further, she speeds off.
There she goes.
Who do you think would be the first of us to leave? You, me, or Natalie?
What are you talking about?
I think it'll be Nat, don't you?
Why? Did she say something?
Well, Nat and Pete live together now. Soon they'll be engaged, and you and I will be wearing ugly pink dresses at the wedding of Mr. and Mrs. Pete. Comiskey.
Yeah, but even if she got married, she'd never leave us.
Sooner or later, Dylan, you and I are going to have to break in a new angel.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Charlie.
Natalie's been replaced.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Charlie.
An elderly Dylan.
Good morning, Charlie.
She dozes off between the Olsen sisters.
I mean, you didn't think it'd be the three of us forever, did you?
I think I lost my nuts. Your nuts never get small on you. When I get in the water, they just shrink up, man. Like, become like one marble. Danger,
danger. The bad guy, who's also the man who was taking the call in front of the fireplace earlier, jogs back to his car. Alex and Dylan are hiding underneath it as he gets changed.
Killer, huh? I just got so excited. When it's big like that, I just love to ride it hard and rough. The way I was getting pounded, I'm gonna be wet for hours.
Dylan and Alex have been rifling through his things, but as he drives off, they seem to have disappeared from under the car. Natalie stands with her board and gives him a wave.
Catch you later.
Randy Emmers.
Natalie licks his credit card.
Pineapple sex wax.
The coal bowl. Hey, check it out, Leo. That could be his next target.
Mounds of coal border a large disused quarry where a motocross tournament is taking place.
This is it. The coal bowl. Let's get dirty.
The angels are each astride a motorbike and dressed to compete. Natalie in silver, Dylan in gold, and Alex in purple.
I'll buy in! I'll find Leo! I'll look for Emmers!
I'll look for Emmers, yeah. All right, Leo, you're mine.
You in charge here?
You know it.
I want in.
It's a 2G buy-in. Winner takes all. Rules are, there are no rules.
I'm down.
3 out of 4 don't cross the finish line.
I'll take those odds.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, how's it going?
That's just at the far double.
This is your first time at the...
Conrad is at the finish line.
I was thinking mix.
Natalie revs her engine at one of the competitors. He gestures towards her, and she motions for him to bring it on. Meanwhile, Dylan doesn't notice a rider dressed in black watching her.
Hey, you and Pete moving in together. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
So, where do you see this going?
Going? I'm confused.
Okay, say someone was to come up to me and say, hey, Dylan, do you think that Natalie wants to get married?
What? Did Pete ask you to ask me if I wanted to get married?
No,
because we just moved in together.
Heads up. I've spotted Emmers. I'm on him. Red bike, red helmet.
The Cool Bowl organizer stands in front of the line of riders and raises her arms above her head. Randy Emmers checks out a competitor in blue who's putting on his goggles. Dylan notices.
Yeah, number 25, check it out. The lion. That's Leo. We got it, sky in blue.
The organizer drops down to the ground to start the race, and the motorbikes scream past her. On the first corner, almost hits a rider out of the race.
What was that? He's after Leo!
As they fly over a mound of gravel, Emerus pushes another rider whose bike explodes in a ball of flame.
He's just taking out a guy in the front double! He's making his way up to Leo!
Midair, Emers lifts himself off his bike and kicks another rider out of the race.
That's it! Let's get in there!
Dylan and Alex put on their helmets and ride into the race. In front, Leo does an airborne twist as he flies off a slope. Emers catching up with him, with Alex and Dylan a little way behind. After Natalie.
Yay,
he kicks her and makes her crash.
No, Natalie! Natalie!
Natalie gets back on her bike and rides off. She does a perfect somersault on the bike, landing slap bang between Dylan and Alex.
Let's go! Escape in the double!
The three of them ride side by side after Leo and Emers. When they sail over the tops of sandbanks, they twist and turn their bikes in the air. Up on his bike and facing backwards, Emers fires at the angels. At the next hill, he flips upside down above the handlebars and fires again. Alex dodges the bullets, but one of them hits Natalie's bike and blows it up. She cleverly swings over to ride pillion with Dylan.
You okay?
At the next hill, Natalie launches herself up into the air and lands on a stranger's bike. As she screeches off on it, the rider dressed in black revs his engine. In slow motion and in mid-air, Leo ends up sandwiched between the mystery rider and Emers, who aims his gun. But before he can shoot, the mystery rider roundhouse kicks him with a spiked boot. Emers tumbles down a bank, while Dylan rides at the man in black. She grabs his locket and chain, but he snatches a handful of her hair before crashing into a nearby bridge. The angels swerve to a halt around Emers' body. After being joined by Leo, they turn around to see the black rider get to his feet. He's lost his helmet. The pale Finnmark jumps on a bike and speeds up across the course, while Alex checks Emers for a pulse.
He's dead.
What the hell is going on?
Hey, you're just a kid.
I'm 15 and a half.
Photos, Alan Caulfield. Max Petroni.
How'd you know my real name?
Helen's ass?
Confused, Natalie shows a photograph to Alex. It's of Dylan, with the name Helen Zass underneath it.
Helen Zass. That was my name before I went into the witness protection program 8 years ago. And then I became Dylan Saunders.
When the FBI realized this young lady's potential, they gave me a call.
Helen Zass?
Yeah.
That's your name?
Yeah.
Helen Zass. So where does that name come from originally? Is that Australian?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You must have been the butt of every joke.
Did you drive an Aston Martin? Alex, we're being asinine.
Yes, yes, you are.
Don't worry, Dylan. We're still going to be your best butties.
Now, angels, a rose by any other name still smells as sweet.
Thank you, Charlie. It's really not that funny.
Yeah, it is.
Boss, can I get a ruling on this one?
You sure can. You know what, personally? I'm not interested in Helen's ass. I'm more concerned about yours. No matter what, you're still going to be our Dylan.
Thank you, boss.
You're welcome.
Let me guess. You fell for the bad guy.
I fell for the worst guy. But he was so cute, and I liked him so much, and we would have so much fun together just driving around, listening to metal, and...
8 years ago, Dylan tongues the bad guy while he drives.
And then one night, things got really bad.
Dylan's boyfriend walks away from the car.
I love you! I would die for you, Seamus!
Grady. You got some balls.
Seamus shoots the man in cold blood, then turns and looks at Dylan.
He said he'd kill me if I told anyone. But I had to put him away.
Of course you did. You did the right thing.
He was my first, Millie.
Hey, you told me you never did it.
My first bust. Yeah. Who was this guy? Seamus O'Grady.
O'Grady? As in the Irish mob?
I sent him to prison.
Right now, in a prison cell decorated only by a fluorescent strip light and a picture of Dylan, Seamus is doing sit-ups hanging from the ceiling.
Great. You're out.
On his back's a tattoo that reads, "Only God will judge me." At the gates...
Yo, Grady, what about your belongings?
He holds up his picture of Dylan. Someone with long dark hair, their face unseen, is waiting to meet him. They hand him a picture of Dylan now, and the two rings.
So if I have these, she'll find me.
Now Max, who had the alias Leo.
Oh, Grady's killed my parents.
What?
Sorry, Max.
Testified against him.
Wait a second. Alan Caulfield. He testified against the O'Grady's. Well, then that's it. The O'Grady's must have Halo, and this is our one lead. Thin Man. Our favorite assassin. That's right.
This needs to go to the lab and get analyzed right away.
Yes, let's get up in there and do that.
Is it? Yeah, I know exactly what this is. I have one. The nuns give it to us at the orphanage.
Orphanage?
Ah, good work.
Max is in our protective custody now, angels. It's up to us to keep him safe.
Hey, I know the safest place in town.
Barson pulls up outside a house in his sports car. Children are playing in a nearby driveway. He gets out with Max.
Listen, don't you worry about a thing. Nobody named O'Grady ever set foot in South Central. Can you dig it?
Yeah,
this is my mama's house. Rule number one, don't look in that. You understand me? Is she a pop? Can you dig it?
Bosley!
Yes, ma'am.
You get over here.
Hey, mama. What
kind of trouble you in now?
I'm not in any trouble. Yes, ma'am.
Come on.
Yes, ma'am.
The angels are bouncing across the ocean on a sleek speedboat, heading for a coastline of rolling green hills. In the grounds of a convent school, some boys are checking out a porn magazine.
Look at those knockers!
Boys!
A nun walks calmly across the lawn to the angels, who are now each wearing a bright blue habit.
Mother Superior will see you now.
A picture of the thin man.
Mother, do you recognize this man?
Of course I know who he is. We called him Anthony, after Saint Anthony of Padua, healer of the mute. Please, come forward. Please, girls.
They shuffle their school desks closer to the Mother Superior.
But his real name, liked so much about him, was a mystery. He came to us when he was 7. He was found wandering in the hills, living off roots and insects. We believe his family was part of a Romanian circus troupe who died in a terrible fire. Although the doctors could find nothing physically wrong with him, he never spoke a word. And there were other idiosyncrasies. He was a painfully shy child until it came time for his monthly haircut.
In flashback, as the Mother Superior tries to cut his hair, he flips backwards, tears out a handful of her hair, and buries his face in it.
Then, one morning, he was simply gone.
The Thin Man was protecting Max.
Hi. So you're saying this man is the sole benefactor of your orphanage?
Yes, he really is an angel.
What? Mother, have you had contact with him since?
Well, not really that much, except for the odd haircut now and then. But he does send gifts, like this morning.
Emmer's car.
That is a nice ride.
Original 1967, numbers matching GTO.
Dylan spots an attractive priest.
Morning, birds.
I know.
Bird poo.
What order did you girls say you were from again?
Loris Californicus.
California Gull.
Fecal matter consists mostly of scaly clinkiform, sardines that fed on large brown algae, I'd say. There's also traces of tanker fuel and stormwater runoff as well.
Seagull, tanker, stormwater.
Hmm. San Pedro Harbor.
Jason arrives at Alex's house and, wearing a personal stereo, starts watering her plants. He doesn't see her dad's in the room until he comes to stand right in front of him.
What? Who are you?
Oh, Jason Gibbons. The actor? Maybe you've seen Maximum Extreme?
No.
It's a big movie.
Well, what are you doing here?
I'm Alex's boyfriend.
Alex's boyfriend?
Oh. Yeah, well, technically we're on what she calls a timeout.
What does that mean?
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
I gotta say, you must be the world's most understanding father.
Why?
All the wild stuff she does. When I first met Alex, I thought she was a bikini waxer. It was months before I found out about Charlie.
Who's Charlie?
San Pedro Harbor. The angels are disguised as welders on a platform suspended against the side of an enormous ship. They create sparks as they solder the hull, then turn to spy on a ship nearby.
Merkin. That was the name of Seamus's pit bull.
Armed guards. Security looks pretty tight. This dock is like a fortress. ID badges. I think cargo's our best bet.
Boz,
recon incoming.
Catch, baby.
Yeah, check the photo.
The treasure chest. Do a little dance.
Make a little love. Get down tonight.
They drop down into the water. Later, at the treasure chest nightclub. The angels are leading a troupe of exotic dancers performing on stage. Scantily clad in fishnet stockings and high heels, they seductively march to the front of the stage and slap their behinds.
There he is, first table on the right.
Yeah, baby! Alex pulls out a rope. Then the angels and the other dancing girls stand in a line and lean over each other. They stroke each other's legs, then bump and grind to the music. The girls walk to the edge of the stage, then shuffle to the side. While the other dancers lie on their backs, moving their legs around to the music, the angels strut to the back, and Natalie and Dylan throw their sailor's caps into the audience. Alex puts a whip at Natalie, ripping off her top. She does it to Dylan, but nothing happens, so she whips Natalie again, removing her underwear. Moments later, Natalie appears in a large champagne glass, dressed in a sequined bikini. Alex cracks the whip again, opening the target's jacket, revealing his ID card and keys. Dylan pole dances, then goes to sit on a man's lap. She straddles him and rides around. Then, while Alex playfully blindfolds him, Dylan takes his keys and ID card, then moves on. Natalie squirts some champagne at him, and as he stands up in celebration, Alex pulls a piece of paper from his back pocket. At the bar, Dylan shows Alex the keys. Now, a forklift truck is driving along with the keys from the treasure chest in the ignition. It's carrying a large, bulky item under a cloth. A guard checks under the cloth, then goes to look at the driver's ID. It's Bosley.
Paddy O'Malley.
Top of the morning to you.
You know, you just don't look much like any Paddy I've ever seen before.
Man, you ain't never heard of no Black Irish.
Black Irish?
That's right. Who do you think invented the Mac Rear? Lucky Charms. Huh? Shamrock Shake. That's ours.
Give me your papers.
What?
Your papers.
Let me tell you something. You got a whole bunch of nerds asking me about my doggone papers. My family suffered, man, for lack of potatoes, foot and mouth disease, cake of sores, circumcision.
Circumcision?
That's right. My wife just had a set of twins, man. They both leprechauns.
Leprechaun.
Get a whiff. Irish Spring. If you don't believe that, you can wipe your ass with a four-leaf cloak.
Forget it! Get that stuff on the ship!
A large stone slab with women holding hands carved in relief is rolled into the hold.
Tough, huh? Heavy.
When the dockers leave the hold, the surface of the stone carving begins to crack. The angels jump out of the block of stone and land naked on the floor nearby. Moments later, fully clothed, they approach a large mesh cage.
Wait a second. I smell a rat.
Alex throws a carabiner at the cage, which emits an electrical pulse. Natalie uses a blowpipe to stick some explosive to the security system. Then Dylan hacks off the lock with an axe. She activates an automatic door, then the angels step inside. The cage is full of valuable artifacts. Alex uses specialized tools to pick a filing cabinet drawer, then opens it to reveal a tray of rings.
This ring is pure platinum. The halo rings are titanium.
The halo data chip should be virtually weightless, surrounded by a hollow core that prevents thermal induction.
If the density of the object is less than that of the substance in which it is immersed,
Natalie opens some champagne.
It floats.
They pour champagne into the tray, and the two titanium rings float to the surface.
I'm sure Helen's ass was great, but I just can't imagine life without Dylan Saunders.
Dylan nabs another bottle of champagne.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Cheers to that!
What's the rush, Helen?
Seamus.
We've only been here 5 minutes. Now, I've waited for you before. Matter of fact, I've waited for you 2,920 days. That's 417 weeks. That's 96 months. That's 8 years.
Enough about me. What about you, Helen? How do you be in?
Seamus.
I see you still got a nice arse on you. You've got a lot of nerve coming here and stealing from me.
Stealing back's more like it.
Give us the rings.
Dylan shakes her head.
Give us the rings.
A group of heavies appears surrounding the angels. One man has a length of rusty chain, another a crowbar.
Give us the rings!
Dylan steps forward and offers him her hand. He slips the rings from her finger, gently touching her skin as he does so.
Don't lose those. You'll be taking them back in about 48 seconds.
I've been dreaming one day I'd get to see you again. I want you day.
Keep dreaming.
Alex picks up a bolt from the ground, knocking out the lights.
Lights! Somebody got the lights! Give us!
In the dark, the angels tap Morse code onto each other's hands.
You know I always like it with the light on.
They each hit the gunman in front of them in the back. One of them hits his head on the controls which operate the cage door, and as it slides shut, their guns become trapped inside. Alex clambers up the side of the cage and kicks out at a heavy who's climbed a nearby chain. He grabs her, and she leaps onto his back, crashing him into another man before climbing up to the top of the cage. Dylan grapples with a man who chases her onto a large crate. She bashes his head against the top, while Natalie's jumping to avoid an axe. Twice, Natalie punches a man repeatedly in the face, then delivers a roundhouse kick that sends him flying backwards. Seamus comes at Dylan with two cutlasses.
You don't know me anymore.
I'm the only one here who knows you.
She twists her body up, kicking him in the face, then grabs one of the cutlasses. They attack each other, with Seamus seeming to have the upper hand. Alex sends a man crashing to the ground from the top of the cage. Another comes at her, and she punches him in the face. Seamus grabs Dylan by the throat and pushes her up the side of a crate. She smashes him in the face with her elbows, but then he grabs her and bends her over another crate nearby.
I got to say, Helen, I've never wanted you more.
Always wanting what you can't have.
She kicks him off. Natalie floors one attacker, then twists the arm of another. Dylan climbs up a rope, Seamus cuts it with an axe, releasing some heavy weights, and she shoots upwards. Natalie launches herself onto the rope, followed by Alex. As the three of them speed upwards, they flip upside down before shooting feet first out of the roof. They each grab a plank of wood and use it to surf down a rope, mooring the ship to the dock. As they run away from the ship, Seamus leaps off the deck after them. At a fuel pump, while Alex sprays fuel from a hose, Dylan clicks open her lighter and throws it into the jet. Flames belch from the hose and the ground catches fire, stopping Seamus' men in their tracks. As Alex and Natalie run off, Dylan's clawed by an explosion. At the edge of the docks, the two angels leap into their speedboat. Dylan sits up to see Seamus, bare-chested, walking calmly through the flames. She shuffles backwards a little as he throws away his axe and closes in on her.
You can't hurt me anymore, Helen. I'm going to teach you and your friends about PM.
I'm gonna kill them. Just so you can hear them scream.
Dylan runs off.
I got the rings! You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Hit it!
He speeds off into the night. Seamus has Dylan's lighter, and with a menacing look, he turns, then walks back through the flames.
I know who did it. Hot damn it, I know who did it. Colonel Mustard in a dining room with a lead pipe.
Colonel Mustard.
Give me that, big fella.
Colonel Mustard.
I said Colonel Mustard in the dining room with a lead pipe.
Let's go ahead and look in
okay?
there,
Okay? No, won't you look in there? Colonel Mustard.
It's Professor Plum. In the conservatory with the candlestick.
That's right. You got it right.
How the hell you know that?
You took him one just like him a long time ago. Remember?
Yeah, Mama. I remember. You gave my room away.
At Pete's school reunion.
You were the cop? I was the beaver. My God, what are the chances that we're both school mascots?
Unbelievable.
Oh, God. It's like we're made for each other.
Okay, the best I can figure it is the clients contact Charlie directly.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then he phones the girls. They show up at the place and do their thing. I know. At first, I didn't think I could handle it. The late nights, the never knowing when she'd have to go out on a job. Huh? Some of the men are pretty dangerous. Oh, and the outfits. Whoa, boy.
Jason shows Mr. Mundy one of Alex's dresses.
I'll be right back, Pete. It's just number one. Have fun. Brought a lot of sunshine
into my life. Natalie tries to get into the girls' bathroom, but it's locked. She holds herself for a moment in desperation, then sidles over to the boys' bathroom. She slips and slides into one of the cubicles, then drops her knickers. They have a Spider-Man motif. While she smiles with relief, two men come in and she wedges herself up above the toilet.
Let me say this. Our boy Pete has no idea what he's getting into.
I don't think he really understands the responsibility.
No.
Pete?
Yeah? Yeah. The commitment.
Once they get into your house, you lose all spontaneity. Gone.
They do whatever they want.
And Pete's asking her tonight?
That's what he said.
The cubicle collapses around her.
But Alex is a wild cat. I mean, she gives as good as she gets. Huh? Alex!
Hey. Jason! Daddy, what are you doing here, Jason?
I was just explaining to your father here all about Charlie.
Charlie? Daddy.
Sorry, Alex, I know.
I'm so sorry, Daddy, that I didn't tell you. I didn't think you'd approve, and I didn't want to disappoint you. I know how you wanted me to be a neurosurgeon. But I've discovered a whole new way to help people that makes me feel so alive.
Whatever makes you happy.
Oh! I am so relieved! It's just been killing me, you not knowing all these years. Daddy, Natalie, Dylan, and I are a team. And we just took on 12 sailors. I mean, you can't even imagine the positions we get ourselves into. Daddy, I wish you could watch us work. You'd be so proud. You know what? I'm going to take a shower because I am covered in what you can only imagine what. And then when I get back, I'm going to give you a full blow by blow. Mwah!
Ferret.
Surrounded by other couples, Natalie and Pete are dancing close.
Natalie?
What, Pete?
I've been thinking.
Hmm?
Yeah.
But what?
Well, look.
I know we just moved in together.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I know we agreed to take this kind of slow. But, yeah. It's just something I gotta ask.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the whole boy's right. So here it goes.
21st.
She gets tangled up in balloons and falls over. She jumps up and starts dancing. Lots of other partygoers join her on the dance floor. She hoists up her skirt, then pretends to slap the two guys dancing with her. Smiles as he watches her boogie from the sideburns. She spins into his arms.
About that question, Pete?
Let's talk about it later.
They kiss. Dylan's in tears, staring at a photograph of her and the other angels. She's in Bosley's office. In the near darkness, she puts a box of belongings on the coffee table. Looking round for a moment, she walks to the double doors, and with one last tearful look at the room, she nods, then pulls them shut. Next day.
Here's all your stuff back. What's up with that?
She's gone.
She's not coming back. She loved these boots.
She doesn't want us to get hurt.
Wait a minute. You ladies risk your ass every day.
Yeah.
I'll never forgive myself if anything happens to you guys.
Where do we go from here, Charlie?
Natalie, Alex, you need to keep your spirits up.
Any leads on the O'Grady's, Charlie?
Yeah, any word on how Seamus broke out of prison?
He didn't break out, Natalie. He was released.
What?
Wait, who would have the power to pull something like that off?
Johnny Cop.
The Justice Department, the DA's office, the FBI.
U.S. Marshal.
That's Carter.
Bosley gives the rings to Ray, then they shake on it.
Never gave rings to a guy before.
Rings are secure, sir.
And we can all breathe a little easier.
Well done, angels.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, Lois. Say, thanks to you. It's been a pleasure. I hope to work with you ladies again. But not too soon.
Good luck with everything.
Oh. The keys.
Bosley tosses some keys, and Wade catches them easily. The girls look suspicious.
These aren't mine.
Ray leaves.
That was a nice reach for a guy with a couple of fractured ribs.
Good going, Boz. We got him.
We got who?
Of course. He already had one ring. He just needed the other.
He wanted to fake his own death so he wouldn't be a suspect.
I'm serious. Who are you all talking about?
He needed time for his plan. So he set up Seamus.
And then turned him loose on Dylan.
I think you're onto something, angels.
Damn! So Carter's the bad guy!
It's just speculation at this point, Bosley. We need proof.
Keys, Bosley. Let's hit it.
Bonk.
Now, Ray's zipping along the highway in a super convertible. He's completely unaware that Alex is keeping up with him on a motorized bodyboard. Behind her, in a red sports car and wearing a black wig, is Natalie.
Road's clear, you're good to move in.
Like a human torpedo, Alex closes in on Ray's car.
Almost there.
swerves, then rolls up on Recycler's car and attaches herself with a large sucker. She's so low that when he checks his rearview mirror, he sees nothing.
Good job, Alex.
Bosley's dressed as a lollipop man.
No, you can't, son. I gotta make sure it's all safe.
I'm gonna be late.
You're not gonna be late, young man.
No,
just right.
Yo, Grizzly Bear!
Son, please work with me, young man. Only a few more minutes and you'll be in school, okay? You'll never have to see me again.
Man, you do not mess with the black man's do!
Alex attaches a device to Ray's car.
I got the phone line.
Someone answers the phone.
Call it from my car. Go secure. My end of the deal's done. The angels are off the case. I have the rings.
Dylan.
Alex nearly hit some boulders on the road.
Alex! Alex!
Call buyer one.
Alex, you okay?
Ned, the handle's broken. I can't disengage.
The deal's on. 8 o'clock, just as we discussed.
Help me!
I'm calling in Bosley. We'll get you out of there, Alex. Hang tight.
Follow the stars beyond a galaxy. Take short a hope. Stop on a stair.
A stair?
Find a man with a map.
Bosley, can you hear me? Bosley, we're going to Bravo configuration immediately.
I'm on it, okay? Hey, now get back. We're on Bravo configuration. Get back.
Bosley steps into the room. Ray hits the brakes and stops an inch from Bosley, who shakes like a leaf.
Come on.
Okay. Come
the on, kids cross.
All right. Skip. Run.
Hey, guys. Hey, okay.
Get on out of here.
Come on.
Get on out of here.
Oh.
When Ray pulls away, Alex jumps up next to Natalie's car and flicks her long hair out of her helmet.
Great job, Oz.
Way to go.
Yeah, right.
Carter's working with a partner. They're selling off the list later tonight. We'll take care of them and then find Dylan.
See you, Boz.
Yeah, all right.
Dylan's driving towards the Mexican border. Later, looking depressed, she enters a bar. As she walks alongside the counter, a barfly reaches out and slaps her ass. Doing nothing, she carries on and takes a seat further along the bar.
Café solo.
Someone behind the bar gives her a coffee.
Gracias.
She suddenly becomes aware of somebody sitting next to her. Bathed in a misty ethereal light, former angel Kelly Garrett smiles.
Kelly Garrett.
Hello, Dylan. Don't you have a case to solve?
Well, I tried to outrun my task, but it caught up with me yesterday. And I put my friends in danger.
They're in more danger now without you.
Natalie and Alex are going to replace me with someone great. A real angel. Not someone who's pretending to be something she's not.
Your past is what makes you who you are, Dylan. Don't forget that Charlie chose you for a reason. Angels are like diamonds. They can't be made. You have to find them. Each one is unique. Sometimes we search too hard for answers that are right in front of us.
Dylan turns to say something. But when she looks, Kelly's gone, and all that remains is the misty light. Dylan has a quick look around, then smiles to herself. Behind the bar, an article entitled Bedside Astrologer 2002 in a woman's magazine makes her leap to her feet. As she's striding out, the barfly slaps her ass again. Moments later, the barfly sent crashing into the jukebox. In the shadow of the Hollywood Hills, Ray parks his car and gets out. Striding towards an observatory, he breaks into a run, unaware that Natalie and Alex are watching him from behind a statue. Now on the roof, Ray walks over to one of the domes. Alex and Natalie peer at him from behind a wall.
The buyers are set. We did it, partner.
Two golden pistols riddle his body with bullets and he drops the rings. Alex and Natalie run out of their hiding place as Ray's body tumbles headfirst over the edge of the roof. They slow down when the dome turns and opens, revealing Madison Lee standing with a golden gun in each hand.
You know, I never really got that whole partner thing.
She leaps up, somersaults, then lands in her heels right in front of Natalie and Alex. She flicks back her hair and puts her hands on her hips.
Hello, angels.
Madison Lee.
Why? Why be an angel when I can play God? Looks like one of the three amigos has gone adios.
Dylan's standing behind her.
Hola.
When Dylan tries to high kick her, Madison grabs her ankle, snaps it, then sends her flying through the air with a kick to the stomach.
Welcome back, Dylan. You're such a typical rebellious Pisces. Always out to prove how tough and independent you are, and you couldn't even make it one day on your own, could you?
Someone reminded me that every angel is unique. And I knew it was you.
Who else has contacts in Mongolia? Could hack the Halo failsafe and hire a surfer as an assassin.
The same astrological phenom who would refer to a motocross rider with a lion on his helmet as Leo.
Very well done. Very impressive, really. You've got it all figured out. And now I'm gonna really enjoy knocking those halos right off your heads.
But you're an angel.
No, you just don't get it. I don't take orders from a speaker box anymore. I work for myself.
Well, your boss sucks.
The angel's ass-kicking pose. I have to admit, seeing the three of you like that does give me this little twinge of nostalgia for the old days. But back then, it was a little bit different. You see, when I was an angel, we used guns.
She whips out her golden pistols. As the angels flip themselves backwards through the air in slow motion, Madison shoots each of them in turn in the chest, a shell falling to the ground after each shot. The angels land on a stretch of lawn below.
Sorry, Charlie.
Madison picks up the rings and walks off. In Bosley's office, Charlie's speakerphone rings unanswered until Madison hits the button with the end of her gun.
Hello, angels.
Good evening, Charlie. I love the new office.
Madison, is that you? Where are the angels?
Well, I'm sure there's three more where they came from.
Madison, what have you done?
We're just having a little fun. You shouldn't worry yourself, Charlie. Besides, you've never had trouble finding someone willing to give their life for you.
Hurting the angels doesn't prove you're the best. You know that.
Do I?
Madison, you were never able to accept that this agency is about teamwork. We're a family. We do...
Yeah, I know. Angels forever. I've heard the sales pitch. It was very seductive. Once.
Madison, you deliberately went rogue on the DeSoto case and put your fellow angels in danger. When we finally got you out of there, you were wounded so badly we thought we might lose you.
You did lose me. You see, being an angel wasn't fulfilling my destiny. It was keeping me from it.
Your destiny is yet to be written. Do not do this, Madison. Taking the lives of innocent people is not the answer. There must be something in you that's still good.
She stops in the doorway and turns back to face the speaker box.
I was never good.
She aims her gun.
I was great.
She shoots the box to smithereens, then walks away. The angels are still lying spread-eagled on the grass, their bodies motionless. Alex gasps for air, followed by the others.
Damn! What a biatch!
Oh. Natalie sits up, pulls down her top, then removes a bullet from her bulletproof bra. The sprinkler switches itself on behind them and soaks them.
You guys, we have to outthink Madison. It's like no matter what we do, she's always two steps ahead of us.
She's selling the list off tonight, 8 o'clock.
But where?
Matt, what else did Carter say?
Okay, take the stars beyond the galaxy.
I think it's safe to say it's on this planet.
Take Shore to Hope and stop on Stair.
Or there's a Hope Street downtown.
But no shore for miles. A stair. A stair!
She does a tap dance.
A stair? A stair!
Possible concussion.
I'm worried. Guys, the stars! Hollywood Walk of Fame. Beyond the Galaxy Theater. There's Dinah Shore, Bob Hope, and Fred Astaire.
Nice, Nat.
Yeah.
Their car explodes in front of them, sending them flying backwards through the air. They land in a tangled heap.
I think she's trying to kill us.
In Hollywood, a billboard for Jason's Maximum Extreme 2 movie hangs outside a theater where a large crowd has gathered to watch the stars arrive. Standing next to his mama, Bosley's on his phone.
Have you lost your mind?
Yeah. I mean, no. We're
going to talk about this later,
Seamus's heavy boots stands on Fred Astaire's star on the Walk of Fame. In a hotel room, Madison sends off a bellboy, while in the Hollywood Guinness Museum, the Diablo Cartel, Tanaka Yakuza, and the Antonioni crime family each take delivery of maps.
Welcome to the Guinness World of Records.
Shot it. Give us the map.
The old receptionist hands the O'Grady's a map, in which is written the Musso and Frank grill. Inside the grill, each of the gangs in turn opens briefcases of cash in front of a middleman. Madison's watching the deals on her laptop. When the middleman takes the O'Grady's case, Seamus points a shotgun in his face. Cool as a cucumber, the middleman hands them a wallet of matches with Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel printed on the flap. Coiled up in her fur coat, Madison turns off her laptop.
Yahtzee!
When Jason steps out of a limo, a man standing next to Mr. Mundy gets very excited. Jason kisses a baby on the red carpet. Madison sheds her fur coat.
I hear the sequel's insane. The first one was a classic.
It was.
Button your jacket.
What's that?
Button your jacket.
While the witness protection database is being unencrypted on her computer, Madison selects a device. Meanwhile, Seamus and his gang are standing outside the Roosevelt Hotel. While Max reaches out to the film stars on the red carpet, the thin man appears and takes a photograph, then moves on. Madison slips her device into her ankle strap. Each of the mob families are making their way through the lobby downstairs. At the elevator, Seamus hands the bellboy the match wallet.
The VIP gathering.
is on the top floor.
He agreed to squeeze into the elevator. As the doors close, Seamus notices something odd about the bellboy's uniform and frowns. Elevators arrive at the top floor, where the crime cartels are now assembling. Madison emerges from a different elevator. The gangs all make their way outside onto the roof and stand in huddles waiting. Madison passes through a roof access door, which closes heavily behind her. All criminal eyes turn to the door to the roof. Two hands reaching out for different doorknobs. One knob twists and the door to the roof opens. Roger Wixon appears.
You're under arrest for conspiracy to obstruct justice.
The crime gangs are surrounded by SWAT teams. Meanwhile, Madison is standing in a different roof doorway. A telescope on a tripod has been set up in the open roof space under a sign for the Los Angeles Theater. With her hands hidden in a tiger print muff, she sashes over to the telescope and slowly lowers her eye to the lens. She sees the crime families being rounded up on the roof opposite and smiles. But elsewhere, the old receptionist, the middleman, and the bellboy have removed their skin masks, revealing Natalie, Alex, and Dylan. The Angels are now standing behind Madison.
The Kleinhardt Gambit. Classic.
And apparently still effective.
Natalie throws out two rounds, which whip the golden guns out of Madison's hands for the other Angels to disarm.
You know, we never used to wear Kevlar. Till I took three in the chest.
On the DeSoto case, we know!
Oops. Don't tell me you forgot about Plan B.
She activates devices around the roof, then the O'Grady's burst in. In a hail of bullets, the Angels and Madison climb up into the theater sign.
Fly bomb.
Bring it on, bitch.
While Natalie and Madison flip over and high-kick each other, Seamus blasts Dylan off the sign and she lands on top of him. Alex, meanwhile, is seeing to the rest of the O'Grady gang. The thin man appears from nowhere. He deflects Alex's karate chops, then stabs one of the gangmen behind her. She looks at him with a confused frown. Hearing Dylan's cries, the thin man launches himself at Seamus, who grabs the end of his blade, but then gets kicked off the roof. The thin man grabs Dylan. Holding her in his arms in a classic movie pose, their lips meet for a passionate kiss. Then he yanks a handful of her hair off her head. He sniffs it. She frowns, then realizes that she is a strand of his hair. With less passion, she lifts it to her nose and daintily sniffs it with a smile. Seamus stabs him.
Mind if I cut in?
The thin man tumbles over the edge and plunges to his death. Seamus lifts Dylan up by the throat, throws her over the edge, and she ends up dangling by her fingertips from a piece of the sign. He then flips open her lighter and holds the flame to her fingers. She lets go with one hand, but then kicks a bulb into his face. The distraction buys her enough time to fly up and kick him off the sign. He plummets to the ground. Nearby, Madison deflects one of Natalie's high kicks, then sends her flying into a skylight. The The Angels regroup just as Madison activates her handheld device.
The premiere should be a blast.
Wearing a batwing top, she flies off the roof as the devices blast everything to Kingdom Come. The Angels grab strings of theater lights and swing after her. Flying overhead, Madison throws a bomb at the red carpet.
Plan B stands for Plan Bosley!
Bosley bats it away and it explodes above the theater in a massive ball of flames.
Get the bitch! Get the bitch!
Wow. Really went all out for this thing, okay.
Madison lands on the ground, sheds her top, then jumps into a waiting blue sports car. As she takes off, the Angels swoop in. Natalie lands in the passenger seat and punches her face as Alex and Dylan cling onto the van. Madison swerves across the road to try and shake them off, then elbows Natalie in the face. Madison deliberately crashes into a floodlight, sending the car into a spin. Dylan falls off first. Then Alex flies through a shop window. The car bounces nose over tail, then crashes through the back doors of a theater. Now, in an eerily quiet auditorium, the stage has been set with a heaven-like backdrop. Natalie and Madison are lying motionless on the floor in front of it. Suddenly, one of Natalie's hands twitches. Madison's also coming to. Madison turns over onto her back, looks across at Natalie, then like a newborn foal, struggles to her feet. Grimacing with pain, Natalie pulls a shard of glass out of her side. Natalie also struggles to her feet, then both women square up to one another.
This is it, you ready? Are you?
With lightning speed, Madison dislodges a floor beam, then kicks it mid-air straight into Natalie's face. Before Natalie can recover, Madison leaps over her, then points her gun at her head.
Kill or be killed. Exciting, isn't it? Who are you? You want to know who I am, Natalie? Then you look inside your own heart.
No, Madison. I'm nothing like you. I have something you'll never have.
Madison shoves her gun under Natalie's chin, then rubs her lips down the side of her face.
What's that? Friends?
Dylan and Alex sweep in on ropes, and Natalie cartwheel kicks the gun from Madison's hand, then sweeps her feet out from under her. Then, holding Dylan and Alex's hands, Natalie kicks Madison in the face, flipping her over onto her front. Madison spies the rings and her gun nearby.
Enjoy heaven.
Go to hell.
As Madison reaches for her gun, Natalie throws the two other angels at her and they beat her backwards through the air. She crashes hard through the stage floor, setting off gas pipes as she falls. Screaming, she shoots her gun and the whole understage erupts in a massive ball of flames. The exhausted angels step forward and look through the hole in the floor at the flaming abyss.
She is so fired.
Dylan and Natalie laugh. The second ring joins its companion at Natalie's feet, and she picks them up and puts them on her finger.
Party time.
Later, the angels are dressed to kill and walking arm in arm up the red carpet in a shower of golden leaves.
dog at that square fly lady?
Yeah!
What's she do for you? Scratch her?
Yeah!
You kick her?
Yes!
You kicked her kung fu ass?
Yeah!
Mama, I told you!
No,
I told you!
Bosley, we wouldn't have been able to do it without you.
Never!
You hear that, Mama?
I heard it.
I've always done my thing. My mama's a genius!
Yes, he is!
Why are you getting my room away from him, Mama?
Tell you what. Max?
Yeah?
Daddy! We just got done. Another satisfied client. We finished her off sooner than we thought.
Huh?
It was a woman this time. We had a triple teamer, but we finally got her on her back.
Still done.
Jason goes to touch Alex's shoulder, and she instinctively flips him over onto his back.
Jason!
Alex! Made it! No, I know.
We're out of time, but I know.
Oh, timeout's over, baby. We're back in the game.
She grabs Jason for a passionate kiss, while her dad looks on in disbelief. Through the crowd, Natalie catches Pete's eye and with an excited grin hurries over to him.
I know you wanted to wait and everything, but...
He kneels to pick up the jewelry box.
You really look beautiful.
Thanks, Pete.
I've been wanting to ask for this for a long time. So here goes.
As he hands out the small box, Dylan watches them wistfully. When she opens it, Natalie's face lights up. Inside is an engraved dog name tag.
Spike?
Yeah, a puppy.
A puppy?
Yeah. Is that okay? I mean, I know it's a big step.
Yes!
I already got him.
You did?
Yeah.
She kisses him, and Dylan looks resigned.
Pete and I have something to tell you.
Really?
Yeah, you're gonna get what?
A puppy!
Oh! A puppy!
Yes, that's great!
I already got him.
You did?
Yeah.
Awesome! Nice! So you're not leaving?
No, of course you guys. I get to kick butt every single day of the week with my two best friends. You think I'm getting that up?
No!
What about you, Dylan? With the Grady out of business, you can go back to your old life, no?
Are you kidding? This is my life. What about you, neurosurgeon?
Oh, it's a no-brainer! Oh. I love our family! I love our family!
Golden leaves rain down on them.